Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We meet again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City won the derby and Forest went mad. It's Monday, 4th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Tell you what, Monday comes around quick, doesn't it, lads?
Where'd the weekend go?
Yeah, it's gone. But it'll be back.
It didn't actually ever arrive because you didn't do the keys on Friday. Yeah.
No, I did.
You did do the keys, but people didn't hear it.
Yeah, you've got to. I keep people on their toes sometimes.
Fair enough. It's just a key card now, so you can't hear it jangle.
Well, I hand them out to people, yeah. Those who are deserving.
No, the keys. The weekend Airbnb has now been upgraded to a little
lockbox.
It's a pin.
Pin,
so you
right,
can't
yeah.
hear it. Yeah, just type it in.
It's a little pin. It's on a timer, and they are set all for the world clock as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So you don't get it early if you're in some parts of the world. You don't get it late.
Fabio's going to meet you in the lobby.
Yes,
he will.
Take you in.
Love
he
that
will.
Guy.
Yeah.
Which Fabio? You thinking Capello, Cannavaro?
Fabio Cannavaro, yeah. Sexy Fabio Cannavaro is going to let you in. He's going to meet you in the lobby. He's going to tell you where the iron is.
Or the 90s supermodel that got hit in the face by a pigeon on them.
That's true. Yeah.
Roller coaster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awful business for everyone involved.
Him. Yeah. Well, there were some big derbies in England on the weekend. I'm sure you're aware. Vicious Manchester United lost to Man City. He watched that game at altitude, apparently, in the Himalayas.
Which made it more emotional, presumably.
Yeah, I would have thought
that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that, though, when they were attacking and he was feeling a bit nervous. Would he have got enough air?
Were they attacking?
Man City.
All right, okay. Yeah,
I'm imagining him sucking on one of those yak chews that you give dogs for
yeah,
some reason.
Yeah, could have been.
Because yaks live up there.
Do they?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if you know that.
but they don't talk back. Andy Brassel's Wimbledon. Put MK Dons to the sword, of course. Now, on Saturday's mailbag, we discussed what makes a great derby. Luke defended half and half scarves as well. I revealed Wacken Phoenix is a Fulham fan, so there really is something for everybody. I sincerely recommend you listen to that episode. Find it below this one in your podcast app. Right, gentlemen, let's have some highlights of the weekend. I'd like you to begin, Jim Campbell.
As we're not talking about the Piff Posse today,
okay.
I think I'm going to go for Jacob Murphy's little face as he put in the cross for Anthony Gordon's goal. I don't know if you all saw it at the weekend.
I didn't see his face.
It just looks absolutely gleeful. He knows that Gordon's going to score. And there's something really wholesome about Jacob Murphy.
Yeah.
Amongst
he's
the,
one of us, isn't he? He's a wonderfully a jubilant man.
Yeah, and he just looked like... Just look like a little boy,
yeah.
Playing for his favourite team.
He's
enjoyable.
He's just so happy to be there.
Yes,
which I think is cracking.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah. It, I mean, we enjoyed his face calls with the Champions League anthem as well.
That was lovely. And that's, he's a man of great faces then.
Exactly. I think it's pleasing that someone like him is a professional footballer.
Absolutely. It was such an excellent warm visage.
Indeed, Jib, indeed.
My warm visage.
Peter, your highlight of the weekend.
Well, I've got two, if that's all right. Can I be a big greedy Gus?
Yeah, you go for it, mate.
Right. Make him quick.
Jesse Lingard coming on for his debut in Seoul. Getting a yellow card, then getting booed.
That yellow card, but like, arguably should have been a red.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was exactly, a very, very... very lenient yellow card.
He said, this is going to be a challenge. He said, this is the challenge. I've accepted it. not the yellow card. I mean, actually playing for FC Seoul. This is my challenge and I've accepted it. Like it's a sentence or something.
It was a referee's decision that very much... You know, relayed the fact to everyone that it was quite a big deal that Jesse Lingard was
yes,
in the league.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So we wouldn't want to necessarily give him the headlines he doesn't want very early on.
I don't know, man. Would get had a lovely time, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's probably...
He enriched La Liga.
I think Real Madrid might have had other irons in the fire at that point.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
okay,
I think
fair
so,
dues,
yeah.
Fair dues. But Fluminense at the Rio de Janeiro derby against Botafogo at the Maracanã. There was just this absolutely brilliant moment where a Botafogo player dragged his injured teammate back into the field.
Yep.
To try and waste some time because he'd fallen off the field.
Uh-huh.
So he dragged him onto the field and then the Fluminense players dragged him back off the field.
It's brilliant, isn't
so
it?
That the game can go on.
The poor man.
Just stop dragging injured players. By the legs as well. By the legs. Yeah. Don't drag injured players by the legs.
No, don't do that. That was glorious stuff. I'm glad you said that one. Look more.
Mine was partly going to be Jesse Lingard's big tackle, which should have been a red. But I will go with another face-related one, which was Bernardo Silva's face when Erling Haaland missed that chance.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
he was like, his face was like, well, that can't happen.
Yeah,
and what I've seen there can't have happened.
No,
it cannot have happened.
Doth my eyes deceive me?
And obviously Haaland popped up and got his goal later on. But I mean, that was, to me, I know we're going to come on and talk about this game, of course, but that for me was quite simply an unbelievable sequence of events.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen a player that good miss a chance that easy ever.
Mm. Is it maybe because it's halfway between...
head and
obviously
foot.
Going it for your head and halfway between volleying it. Yeah, I'm just trying to understand.
And
it.
He's a big guy. Those two paws are quite far apart,
they
aren't
are. They? They are. So maybe it was like a magnet. They were just they repelled. Force each other away. Yeah.
Okay. My highlight of the weekend was being mistaken by for being, I suppose, what would it be, an architect or something? Because I was watching Fulham beat Brighton. Great performance from Fulham. And a chap behind me tapped me on the shoulder. I think he was from South Africa by his accent, and he said, do you know why are the fans not, why have they not fully populated the new stand at Fulham? Because if, I don't know if you've seen on the TV,
yeah,
the sort of central section is
still, empty,
is still empty, but on the corners, as you and I sat at the League Cup semi-final, second leg, Jim, you've got the lower tier is full, and then the two sort of ends, if you like, the two sides, is all full of ham. And
yeah.
Okay.
No, it's full of, you've got supporters there.
Mm.
And this chap says, why is that? And I said, I mean, I assume it's obviously some sort of... it's a security or health and safety thing. Yeah. Why there's obviously a reason. And he went, yeah, but they've got supporters elsewhere. And I said, yeah, I mean, obviously those sections.
Why is he
are,
quizzing you?
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
Well,
I said, obviously, I mean, obviously they deem them sort of safe. They've got enough.
He probably thought you were more of a policeman.
Maybe
that's got a
real like narc vibe.
Well, then he said, yeah, but it just doesn't make sense. And I just went,
yeah.
And I just said,
life doesn't make sense, friend.
I refer you to my previous.
Yeah, what
I
really
don't know.
Yeah,
but he was really quizzing me.
Maybe he just wanted to be friends with you, and he just wanted to drum up a bit of conversation.
But I kind of enjoyed it.
That's the kind of small talk that Donaldson will do, trying to break down with someone. He'll get confused and go way over the top, and it'll be full on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He
why is the Toyota Yaris fuel injection so expensive?
Exactly.
Why?
Why just can't you put your feet through the front seat?
In every car. You can't if you try hard enough and you wear skates.
Marcus, I reckon he probably just thought, oh, that's that guy from the round, but he's in charge of the entire weekend.
Yeah,
so
exactly, yeah.
He's a resource for me to use.
True.
He's
like the highest authority I can draw on.
He's got the keys, clearly, but he doesn't have any of the answers.
And then Adama Traore scored, which threw up more questions.
Exactly.
Adama Traore scored, which sent everyone mental and everyone forgot about it.
Wonderful. All right, everybody, let's go to Manchester City 3, Manchester United 1. It was a big win for Manchester City. A lot happened in this game, Jim, but what are your initial thoughts about it all?
I refer to Erik ten Hag's comments after the game, where he seems to be under the impression that actually it was quite tight and on another day it could have gone their way, and like quite how baffling that is to square with the experience I had. It was one of those games where I think the most illustrative point of it was where there was a sort of mild shout for a penalty in the first minute or so on John Stones, and it wasn't given. The crowd didn't even really kick up much of a fuss because there was a real sense, it's like, it doesn't matter. Mm. We're not going to need that. This will be absolutely
that
fine.
That was a bonus for us.
Exactly.
Why do you say that? But Manchester United had chances to make it 2-0.
They did have chances, well, but they weren't of the highest quality.
Well, Marcus Rashford had a bit of a swing at one. He went, a better touch would have put him through on goal. You know, I think to dismiss that, Jim, is perhaps...
Shot on target the whole game,
right?
Yeah. So I mean,
so
what your point is, if the players were better and did better things and made better decisions, they might have scored another goal.
My point is, had loads of chances.
No, I'm not arguing that the right team won, but Marcus Rashford had a swing at that one when he had a clear sight at goal. Just because he didn't get it on target doesn't mean it's not a chance.
But it's not like he didn't get it on target. He didn't even connect with the ball.
The fact of the matter is, it was a chance to score a goal. I mean, do I have to explain this to you? Yeah,
but Marcus, it's very generous. It's very, very you're generous. Being
I like it. I like generous Marcus.
Thanks.
That's what that South African guy was thinking.
Yeah.
You'd be very generous with this time.
I know, I was far too generous. I should have just said, oh, piss off.
Fuck
mate.
Off. Yeah. It's a football match. Get fucked.
Why do I know?
I think that was indicative of United's approach, right? That it was essentially kind of, let's try and keep it tight and hit City on the break. And obviously it worked with the first goal. That was the chance you're referring to is another attempt to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think they've played like this away a lot, haven't they, United, in the bigger games in particular. And it's not really worked for them at any point. And if you pull it off, brilliant. Like it will be so satisfying. It feels like a sort of, you know, you've captured the flag almost. But see, you're just going to pound you and pound you and pound you.
So what do you think Manchester United should have done? Because I actually thought the way they set up Manchester United actually was good. And with a better touch and a better effort.
I would agree with that for sure.
They could have gone 2-0 up, and then you never know. I think, again, when Manchester City score that first goal, an absolute beauty. I mean, Rashford's goal was an absolute peach, by the way.
It was.
When Manchester City score that goal, it's kind of like, ah, there we are.
But the thing is, sorry, Luke.
No, you go on.
But Rashford's goal was exceptional, wasn't it? The sort of thing that is a bit of a lightning strike in how good it was.
Yeah.
So I think that perhaps masks what a battering this otherwise would have been.
I think actually you're both right in one way. The Rashford goal was a Haley's Comet goal. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no tactics or preparation all week's going to make any difference to that. I mean, Man City can play wherever they want and set up wherever they want and be the most tactically adept team in history.
It also like a tour.
And football can just do that. Mm-hmm. Right? If someone smashes one in from miles out like that, there's nothing you can do, right? That definitely papered over some of the cracks. But at the same time, I think, Marcus, you're right, because, you know, it's the only realistic way Man United could have set up. If they
can break, they've got a bit of pace.
And that's clearly what they were trying to do. And actually, it looked for a while that the best chance Man City had of scoring actually was breaking on Man United's break.
Yes.
Because Man United sat in so much and made it so congested, it was going to be debatable whether they could keep that up for the whole game. It's so tiring.
What's the term for that?
What?
When you break on a break.
I've been counter-fucked.
A counter break, I guess. I don't know. Someone get Michael Cox on the phone. Get Michael Cox on the phone.
is Ten Hag just looking at like the times that the goals were scored? Obviously, they'd drawn level at 56, but it took until 80 for them to get the point. Yeah. So,
well, this is what I mean.
It's not a game of rugby, though.
But it isn't. It's true.
A bit exaggerates to call it an issue, but I think where that approach is sort of doomed to fail is just keeping it up for that long. It just never felt like they'd be able to, did it? And Foden's like obviously scored an absolute worldie himself, and that's that they've got that in their locker. And if you sort of invite that pressure, they are going to accept that invitation.
Yeah, but
and again, I know that it's
so. How should they have approached it?
This is the conundrum of City, isn't it? You essentially have to try and play the game that United play, but kind of set traps. But I think the form they've been in recently, obviously they've had a little blip in the last game. Surely, after trying this approach in the bigger games and it not working a few times already this season, you've got to do something different. Maybe just go for it a little bit more, or just try and manage areas of the game where you have a little period where you try to sort of try and just attack them when not expecting it. If there was like a great example of what baffled me about United's approach was after City went ahead, they didn't really try and exert any pressure. United didn't really try and get back into the game. Surely just nominate 5-10 minutes somewhere where you try and have a go at them, try and catch them.
But they're miles worse.
So there I would agree with you, but as Luke said, it's very, very difficult to do that.
You've got to remember, I think Andre Onana, apart from a couple of distribution problems, probably had the best game I've seen him play for me.
He was very good.
He was sensational. And on another day, City could have scored loads more. The only way United could have set up was the way they set up and play the way they play, because they are a million miles worse than Man City.
And again, as I stress, on another day, They could have gone 2-0 up. And at 2-0, you know, and then you kind of hold in there. But the fact is, the game panned out the way it did. Manchester City are a far superior side. When Foden scores that absolute beauty, it completely swings, if it had it already swung. But then it was just all Manchester City. I mean, there was a moment where Garnacho, they checked for a penalty.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Edison did win the ball. He made sure he got the man as well.
It was a fucking brilliant tackle.
He made sure he got the man.
Yeah.
But I think the right decision was
speaking
made.
Of Foden, what do you make of his celebration? I thought it was very confused. I said it on Twitter. I think that, you know...
But Haaland got in the way.
Well, that second one he did. The first one, Foden was given the room to express himself.
Yeah.
And I think the second one, Haaland thought, well, you're not doing that.
No. Pete was very disparaging towards the bow and arrow.
Like, where does it end?
No, but he... But the
RPG?
Thing is, he pulled... Yeah. He pulls an arrow out of a quiver on his back.
Yeah.
And then he fires it like a gun.
Which suggests...
It's confusing.
Which suggests a crossbow, right? Which I think is one of the more sinister mime weapons.
Yes.
It is, but the crossbow... Here's the thing. You can't mime a crossbow.
Hang on a minute. If we're talking crossbows, we've got to go to Pete Donaldson. He's from the town...
It looks good.
...where you, once upon a time, could legally shoot a Scotsman with a crossbow in the town centre after dark.
I think that's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when people say these bylaws. They go, you know, that's... the law of the land trumps that.
Yeah, whatever you say. But like Luke, you were saying on Twitter about there's no recoil on a crossbow. There is a slight recoil, but it's forward. So what's that called?
So
coil?
What I'm saying is...
As Owen Coyle.
Owen Coyle?
Listen, you're talking to a man who spent last night watching quite a few videos of Dan Snow firing a crossbow on the YouTube.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm probably the most qualified at
what's
this point in this
for?
Room. It's just as what
it's spare time, isn't it?
History is history. Here's a mime. This is why Foden can't mime a crossbow as a celebration, because the crossbow mime is this.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, but
it's just,
all he did is pull
a trigger.
Just
all he did is pull a trigger.
Did he not load it first?
No.
Right.
Oh, maybe he does.
Well, I mean, it's a sort of small crossbow, like a hand crossbow.
I think you need to be, if I could be in a position where I could advise Phil Foden on this, if you do want to take, you know, the kind of, the evolution of the Robbie Keane type thing, and you want to make that type of celebration, forget the arrow and the quiver on your back.
Yeah.
No one's believing that anyway.
Yeah.
If you want to do the old Arnie in Commando, do that, or come up with the, put the arrow back in the quiver and just do the... bow and arrow vibe.
Well, I mean, Kyle Walker said of the game that he's called the sniper, which I think is such a lame thing.
Again,
someone.
It's confusing. Yeah. It's confusing.
Is. Yeah. What do they call you, Kyle? Yeah, you just ask why I'm on your turn.
Don't worry about
it. I'm sliding down your drainpipe in pants.
I think the criticisms we have of United and the criticisms we have of City are quite illustrative here.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
yeah,
I was wanting to talk about Foden and his skills and whatnot.
If you're going to call Foden the sniper, sorry, Marcus, just to finish this.
I'm not.
I need to be seeing him adjusting the little sight on his gun.
On his reticule.
Checking for wind.
If he wants to do a celebration where he lies on the pitch in camouflage for 3 days straight, taking the shit into a bucket, then we can call him the sniper.
I see.
And then he turns the cameras and he needs a sponsorship by Smith & Wesson or Raytheon or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
As low
fair
as
enough,
I,
Marcus?
I couldn't agree more.
He turns the camera and goes, I am a weapon of war.
Yeah, you are. He played on the right, he played on the left.
He did.
He was all over the place.
He was.
Where would you like to see him play for England, Jim? Let's cut all the crap.
That's a good question.
Give him 10 at the end.
I quite like him on the left, actually.
Yeah.
Because then you get Saka in as well.
I was going to say, you're thinking of little Bakayo, aren't you?
Well, especially given that... Rashford using that goal to very much paper over the cracks of his England chances for this summer means if you play him there, you can play Saka, and that's good.
But do you think, though, that he should be playing in the middle of the pitch?
I think Phil Foden is, you know, with the exception of Jude Bellingham, who I think we're going to come on to, is the best England player at the moment.
But do you... but Foden...
He wants to play through the middle. He says he wants to play through the middle.
He does, but he doesn't play through the middle that much.
Him and Bellingham, if you can follow...
He can play through the middle, by the way, just for the record. Clearly, he's good enough to do that and he knows his way around there. But he normally plays on the left or sometimes off the right for Man City. I just wonder, because a lot of people want to see a midfield three, or a number of people want to see a midfield three, so probably Rice at the tip and then Bellingham.
I don't think people
want to
hear about England at the moment, do they? Yeah.
All right.
They're not bothered, I don't
think.
More about crossbows.
Phil Foden pulls out his crossbow, what's Mitrovic going to bring on the opening game against Serbia?
Sets out four England players.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Marcus, where would you like to see Antony?
back on the bench.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
No, play him more. Yeah. Come on.
That is the, that. It almost felt like when they brought Anthony on, it was just an absolute treat for the City fans.
Oh, that's
like,
amazing.
Let's bring on a jester in their team.
The absolute, the happiest person associated with Man United to see Anthony play is Amrabat, who's also completely
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, he set Phil Foden, Erling Haaland up basically.
Lovely one,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
How much time do I get? Oh, how much time do I get on the ball in the Etihad? Yeah. Away from home, you know. It was, honestly, I know he's been playing that position. I know, I'm sure he's a good player. And it is funny as fuck. I don't care who you are. It is so funny mm-hmm. that they toil and work so hard to get Anthony and then Amrabat. Amrabat was linked for ages. He's the guy to sort it out for uh-huh. us. He comes on, he looks like. He just looks like taken from the old people's
home. Lost.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine coming on in a game like that? You know, when the game's already lost, really. Just, it's an impossible job. However, have a bit more bite about
you. It was only 2-1 when he came on.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, yeah, fine.
Philosophically, yeah. It was finished.
My point is that he didn't have to make sure it finished.
I know, and it's it can be hard for players to come off the bench and get the pace of the game and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, and you're in that situation, in that area of the pitch, and you've got, really, you're surrounded by some of the world's best players.
Yeah.
You know, you can put your boot for it and just reset.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a real throwback to signing a player because they look good in the tournament, isn't it? Mm. We don't see it that often now, and this feels like a real...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You end up paying more.
Yeah. Guardiola was very animated on the side, as he tends to be. My favourite moment, actually, was... I had two favourite moments. When he hugged his assistant, who looks a tiny bit like Kevin Keegan.
looks like an Iberian Kevin Keegan.
I thought he was going to give him a Frenchie at one point. And then Erling Haaland, when he missed that chance, that won, you know, a few yards from the goal... Pep Guardiola sort of wanted to have a go at him
yeah.
and then thought, well, he has scored a lot of goals for
and
us.
And he'll probably score again.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit down and bottle it all up. But you could see him, he was bursting at the seams that he wanted to say something. He couldn't believe it.
I mean, he is. I mean, we say this all the time, but it's worth repeating. He is borderline problematically weird.
Oh, I mean, he's Family Guy's William Shatner. You know, he's all over the place, Guardiola. It's very enjoyable.
It's pretty unpredictable. The bit with the fourth official, I just felt like it went on so for funny. Way too long. Mm. Like the camera cut to it, and if it was just a couple of seconds, it would have been funny. They stayed on that for about 15 seconds.
They only cut because it was a corner.
No,
it's
a begrudging cut back
game.
To the football. Yeah,
it was a good game, but nothing's competing with that.
And the fourth official, massively started to look like that girl and that meme with the bloke in the nightclub shouting in her ear.
It was very much that.
I
can't
energy.
Wait for this to be over.
I'd love to know what he was saying.
Yeah, but you can guess.
Get the lip readers out.
Mm. You can just guess. It's just like, are you sure? I want to be happy. I want to. Why are you getting in the way?
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Yeah.
Drink water.
So drink water and relax.
I generally say that to my dog every morning when he's going mad because there's a fox in the garden. I go, calm down. Just drink water. Just drink water.
Do you think, Jim, do you reckon he was just screaming over and over again in the fourth official's ear? Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts.
Notting Hill. Love that one. Have you seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
Well, you know, I hope he doesn't come for Hugh Grant because he's very much a Fulham fan. Mm. All right,
we know that exactly.
We all know that.
And we love him for it, don't we? His late career and renaissance, Hugh Grant, is very enjoyable.
He is having the time of his life.
Speaking of managers angry with officials, let's talk about Nottingham Forest 0, Liverpool 1. Darwin Nunez with that 99th minute winner for Liverpool. Yeah. Controversy, Jim.
So controversial, Jermaine Gina seemed to care about something.
Yeah. He was like right in his Venn diagram.
I wasn't believing it. No, even that.
You should have seen me kicking off. Oh, I was bloody fuming.
What Gary Lineker said to a manager, I mean, you're a Forest fan. And he went, I am. Yeah. I am. Yeah. No, I am. Yeah, that's good.
I'd love it if
Julian Lescott, you're a Man City fan. I'm a Wolves. You're a Man City fan. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Are you nervous now? Yeah, a little. Yeah.
I'd love it if they cut to Jermaine, asked him his opinion, and he just forgot where he was and started talking about badgers in Wiltshire. I thought he was on the one show.
Oh, dear. But of course, there was controversy in the build-up to the goal. Referee Paul Tierney had stopped play while Nottingham Forest were in possession of the ball because Konate went down for a head injury. For those of you who haven't seen it, and I'm sure you all have, but just in case there's one or two, Obviously, Kelleher is given the ball. Liverpool then can go down the other end and attack. They win a corner. The corner comes in, blah, blah, blah. Gets to McAllister, floats it in, and Nunez scores. Whereas, of course, that comes from Callum Hudson-Odoi having the ball out wide for Forrest when they're on the attack. And it seemed a little bit unfair on Forrest, to say the least, that they had to give possession over to Liverpool. Now, interestingly, Mark Clattenburg, who is Nottingham Forest's official referee advisor, said the law is clear that if the ball is outside the area, you get possession back. I'm here to advise the board, but I haven't spoken to the referee. Paul wouldn't allow me in.
I love this. It's like Mike Dean just turning up and throwing his weight around.
I love Paul Tierney just basically saying to him like he's some kind of like mall cop. You've got no jurisdiction here.
Yeah. I don't have to talk to you anymore, Mark. Yeah. I don't have to talk to you anymore. You're not a referee anymore.
But I mean, is it mischievous to suggest that, you know, you could, in theory, assuming the referee's performance is never perfect, right? There's going to be a mistake is going to be made in every single game, probably. And obviously, some of them are quite high profile. Some of them perhaps don't take much notice of. And you wouldn't have taken notice from this one. Liverpool didn't score, right? Is it too mischievous to suggest that actually you could do this with any goal? Mm. You could say, okay, well, if you go back far enough, because the reason I'm saying that is because Forrest did have a definitely one and possibly two chances to clear their lines and get rid of the ball. About 2 minutes or so kind of happened between that decision, which was, let's be fair, in the neutral part of the pitch, and the goal
itself.
But
that kind of detail's by the by, though.
Yeah, because I think you want the rules to be applied properly, right? It really is as simple as that.
I mean, you are into chaos theory. I mean, if Forrest are given the ball, it doesn't mean to say they're going to put the ball in and then score. They could lose the ball and Liverpool could score. Mm. Da-di-da-da. The fact of the matter is, though,
the referee intervened incorrectly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it.
Well, Liverpool were on the end of this themselves, weren't they, with the Luis Diaz goal?
Well, indeed. And apparently, we're expecting a statement today from Liverpool to say that they will offer to replay the game.
Shut up! Imagine that!
Love it.
That was crazy.
All we ask for is a bit of consistency. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that right, Peter? It's all we want.
Get your memos out.
Yeah, so Forrest, I understand they were particularly aggrieved by this, but I suppose, are you suggesting, Luke, that maybe their reaction was a bit strong, considering it wasn't like it was a very, very dodgy penalty given in the last second and they scored? in you know, what happened between the decision to give Liverpool the ball, there was a fair old passage of play before they then scored.
Yeah, and I think you are...
So are you talking that they perhaps overreacted? Right to be angry, but maybe...
Well, I think it comes off the back of a litany of difficult decisions that Forrest have had, which has made them appoint Clattenburg in the first place in this, in my view, quite ridiculous role. But that's why they're doing it. And so for this to happen then further compounds that. I guess what I'm trying to compare it to is, for example, something you see happen quite a lot. It will happen more than a handful of times this season. Given that the ball was effectively in a neutral area...
Yeah.
Time and time again, we see a coming together of players. Uh-huh. The ball ricochets off someone, goes for a throw-in. You look at the replay, it should have gone for a throw to the other team, and then that team score.
Yeah. Mm.
My point is, you can't be perfect with it. Mm. I guess in this case, if Paul Tierney is essentially incorrectly administering the law, and apparently, according to what's been reported, Paul Tierney was repeatedly saying to Nottingham Forest players, that's the rule, they get the ball, that's the rule, they get the ball.
Right.
So he seemed to be pretty convinced that that's what he should have been doing at the time.
Right.
Well, it could make it worse, though, if he doesn't actually know the rule himself, then.
Well, yeah, but I think maybe the rule isn't that clear because it does depend on certain parts of the field and the situation, I think.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, someone else pointed out that earlier in the game, Tierney did exactly the same thing the other way.
Right.
And obviously Forrest didn't score, but it was something he clearly believed is what he should have been doing. So look, I think Forrest should be aggrieved. I think if it is a mistake and it's a serious mistake, you know, it's fucking annoying because they keep getting on the end of these, and it seems like a lot of teams do. I think what we've done now is we've elevated the administering and the refereeing of the game to such a point where we've tried to tell fans and football clubs that it's going to be much better, to the point where it's going to be almost perfect, and it just can't be like that, and that means tensions run a lot higher. But what I would say is there's absolutely no reason at all for Clattenburg to be involved. I think it's a ridiculous role he's got there. The fact that they wheeled him out to make an official comment to the BBC off the back of it was mental. The fact that Evangelos Marinakis, who himself is a very problematic character, apparently was removed by security, according to some reports of people at the game, that all that stuff
he was chasing Paul Tierney down the tunnel.
Which is not right and shouldn't happen.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously Stephen Reid, part of the coaching staff, I think, was he given a red card?
Well, that can happen. I mean, the red cards exist for a reason. Tensions run high. People get annoyed.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic last-minute goal. Yeah, if he gets sent off, he gets sent off. He'll have to serve his ban.
I just don't think he was actually saying.
What?
He was apparently saying, can this count towards the points deduction?
Have you seen Marinakis's...
Nunez was a ball under his arm. Yes, it fucking can.
have you seen Marinakis's face? Like, from the
very
top
much
half...
So.
Like, everything above the nose is 45-year-old. Everything below, 65.
Right. Wow.
Beard, grey beard,
pitch
black hair, bit of a bald spot, admittedly, but it's interesting. I can't stop looking at that
guy. What Paul Turner was thinking when he was bearing down?
Yeah.
Well, I could outrun him.
He was like, I think I can take half of him.
Can outrun him from like the nose up.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't try and headbutt me, otherwise I'm in trouble.
But I do think, the joke on the side, the Marinakis is an owner, he needs to set an example. He needs to be above the fray on that stuff. He can't be involved.
Well, we know what he's like.
I'd love to say so much stuff about him that I can't say on this show.
Mm. You can have a pop it.
Nah. I won't.
Not safe, is it?
Just more work.
It's not
safe. Just more work for the editors, isn't it?
How long did you go out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was a very ungenerous lover.
From the nose up.
I tell you what, though. Careful.
From the nose down, there was nothing going on.
Not much. You had to do all the work. But a great win for Liverpool, though.
Yeah.
And was it a great win?
Yes.
I suppose the thing is that
vital one.
There's that. Yeah. That on that. I suppose from that point of view, it definitely is. What I mainly mean is that it was pretty nip and tuck. But I suppose from Liverpool's point of view. We talked about this a few weeks ago, didn't we? Where we were talking about, is it going to be a case that they're just not going to be denied because of what's happening at the club? But one thing that is very impressive about them is they do seem pretty decimated in terms of players.
Yeah.
And they are bringing, I mean, for those of us who are only on nodding terms with Liverpool as a club, I mean, they are bringing on players that until very recently, none of us had really heard of. Yeah, and they're still getting wins, and the win away from home is a really important one.
Did you like
for sure.
that picture I put in the WhatsApp group of someone's done like a, I think it's probably assisted by AI, but like a massive version of Van Dijk holding the hands of some very young players that are coming onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Why?
They're
why
quite mawkish
like
for that stuff, aren't they?
Why are they like this?
Was Brendan Rodgers in the cloud above them? How am I doing? How am I doing, boss?
Yeah.
Did you see Virgil Van Dijk grabbed a supporter's phone so he could film the celebration?
Yeah. Unlocked his phone. It's like, it's my phone now.
And then he gave it. Whose phone is this? I'll just chuck it into the crowd. I'm sure you will be.
If that was Martin Odegaard doing that, people would be losing their mind. Richard Keys would be off on one, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't checked in on Keyes' blog, which I absolutely will do when I get home. presumably, there'll be some consistency there as well.
Yeah. A bit of me time, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point, though. Like, they were, you know, Curtis Jones was saying, wasn't he, the other week? Maybe a bit over the top with him.
Yeah, nicking our stuff, apparently.
Nicking our stuff. Nicking our stuff. But at least, though, see, what Darwin Nunes did is he scored the goal before the full time whistle went.
And yes,
that is absolutely crucial. Jude Bellingham needs to understand this. And again, I really want him to get this before the Euros come along. But of course, he was at the heart of some late controversy in Spain. He scored what he thought was the winner for Real Madrid, if you've seen this. The ref had already blown the final whistle before the ball was crossed in. So it wasn't as if the ball was in the air and as it's about to hit his head. Because the referee can blow up. Whenever the ref sees fit.
Is that true? But I thought it was supposed to be in a neutral area.
Well, I think that's probably the spirit.
It's probably
of
not codified, is it? It's probably not in the rules.
It's proper Dungeons and Dragons stuff, though, isn't it?
It was just as it had left the player's foot, wasn't it? So it was in the air, but just about.
But then, so the referee
you should, if
would
you're a referee,
say,
you should know what a cross is, though, shouldn't you?
Yeah. You should.
I'm not saying it's ridiculous, but I'm just trying to give a bit of colour.
But if you're the referee and you're thinking, okay, that's time now. Oh, well, hang on. I'll add some extra time to see where this cross goes. If you're on the receiving end of that, you might think to yourself, well, hang on, that extra 10, 15 seconds or whatever it was, or even if 7 seconds, if that's the time, that's time.
I heard he was complaining about the Liverpool goal to the referee, yeah.
What, Jude Bellingham?
He was saying it's not acceptable what's happened over in the Forest this weekend.
Yeah. Hugo Giroud, the player for, it was...
Valencia.
He could not hide the biggest shit-eating grin I've seen in football for such a long time. Yeah. When the referee blows up and points everyone off the pitch, he's like, yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
This is going to enrage people.
Ancelotti said an amazing thing after the game. about this incident where he said he didn't insult the referee. He was respectful. He spoke in English and just said it was a fucking goal.
Superb.
Yeah. Oh, Duke's definitely got that swagger about him for sure. Like he's
got to be careful.
He's got the air of someone who's like, if you get in my way on my journey to the top, you are going to be ground to dust.
Yeah. Massive main character syndrome, and for good reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll get theirs from Jude next time they play.
It's normally German players that do that, and it's good to have one like that for us.
Right, everybody. Before we go for a break, let me remind you that tonight Arsenal travel to Sheffield United, where no doubt Chris Wilde will be angry at referees and the scoreline. Andy and I will be recording Ramble Reacts tonight following that game, so make sure you follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode, or wherever you get your podcasts, of course. Right, coming up in the second half, we have a West London derby. Luton Town going down once again, and maybe a little bit of fizzer. See you in a moment.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's a championship venue, so no VAR tonight.
Woohoo! Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everyone. That was Danny Murphy with the woohoo there.
It's the most exciting Danny's ever sounded.
Yeah, definitely.
Drinking a Duff beer by the sound.
Yeah.
Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Swedish House Furniture, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'll also get Discord access, where patrons have recently been discussing Burnley's Dara O'Shea getting booked for time wasting after just 27 seconds. Wonderful stuff.
Oh yeah, they're also doing quite a lot of really enjoyable photoshopped Erik ten Hag gifs as well.
Yeah, with all that.
Most of them featured around them getting battered by City, and then people saying, hold up, let him cook, and then Erik ten Hag with a chef's hat on.
Lovely.
So if you don't want me just to explain those in quite a boring way, get over there and look at them yourself.
Damn right. Click the link in the show description to sign up.
Right, it's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend, we of course place a £10 Acca on four match odds, 90 markets across the football, where any winning bets are paid out in 90 minutes. So you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruin your bet. Right, game one, Jim picked Spurs to beat Crystal Palace. They won 3-1. Yeah. Game two, Andy picked Aston Villa to beat Thuton.
Chris Thuton.
Luton.
Another obvious one.
They won 3-2. It was a barn burner. Yeah, what a game.
I mean, Spurs
were
always going to beat Palace. Villa were always going to beat Luton.
I stepped up and did the big game of the weekend because that's what Betfair, our paymasters, specifically requested. Mm-hmm. I had Man City to beat Man United.
Yeah, again, an obvious one.
Yeah, despite all the chances Man United had, apparently.
Well, they did.
So we're in business. Three out of four so far.
Three out of four.
We are in business.
All we need is Brentford to hold
our
on to
XG.
That 2-1 lead.
Our XG is so high right now.
Marcus, it's over to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so three out of four.
Marcus picked Brentford to beat Chelsea. They went a goal down and I did fear for you. Then they went two up and I thought, here we go.
Yeah, I know.
And then Chelsea ruined it. Like they do for the rest. Listen, Chelsea, their MO is to ruin football for the rest of us.
They're barn ruiners.
They are barn builders. They're barn builders.
Yeah, they build barns.
Think of Chelsea.
They're the Build-A-Barn Foundation.
Like an Amish community. Yeah. One of those big barns in like a day.
Like a day, yeah.
Yeah, with big beards. Anyway, so we missed out just by a mere goal.
Second week in a row. As well,
I know.
Come really close.
We're so close. Although the good news is there were six stoppage time goals in the Premier League this weekend. Betfair are donating £10 to the charity pot for every stoppage time goal this season. So that's another £60 for Prostate Cancer UK. So we're still raising money for a great cause. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you'll get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes. We'll be back with our next round blacker on the preview show this Friday.
Let's talk about that game then. Brentford 2, Chelsea 2. Both sets of fans booed their own team at different stages in the match.
It was pretty edifying stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just two sets of players in the current football schedule running themselves into the ground while other people around just go, fucking boo!
Well, Thomas Frank on the Boo Boys said from the Brentford fans, I'd like to speak to the supporters about the boos while 1-0 down to Chelsea. Is that support? What the fuck?
It's not unreasonable, is it?
I like
it's
that.
Not. I like Thomas Frank.
Yeah,
I do.
Thomas, he's Frank, isn't he?
Very.
But you're always on a high nothing criticising the fans, aren't you? That's never ideal, is it?
Well, I mean, there's a way to do it in which you essentially request
what
their
the
support,
fuck?
Right?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, I don't know if it's that way, right. But there is a way to do it.
Well, I mean, I would be more worried about why your players will not challenge headers in the box.
Well, they did in the second. I mean, yeah, so you're referring to Jackson's goal, which was a lovely header. After, I mean, when he ran through for that chance just before that, and he rounded the goalkeeper, it was very tepid to the point of the commentator match. They just went, Jackson.
He wasn't bothered. Yeah,
just went.
He's a really interesting one, Nicholas Jackson, because he's actually got 11 goals this season, which is like kind of more than you might expect if you don't follow Chelsea that closely. But I read an interview with him recently where he said that before he goes to bed, he visualises his misses. Now,
terrible choice of words.
Now, if you ever need to memorise lines for anything,
right.
a really good trick is to do it before you go to bed. For whatever reason, they will stay in your head much, much better and still be there when you wake up. And I don't know if it's directly comparable, but I have a suspicion this might be the worst possible thing that he could be doing.
Visualise your goals.
Game. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Watch them. Watch them on your phone.
I had a mate who insisted that the best alarm possible is just as you're about to go to bed, you get into bed, you're about to go to sleep, draw the time you want to wake up on your forehead with your finger.
With your finger,
and you'll always wake up that time.
Really?
Start a small fire.
People listening could try that and let us know how they get on. Apparently that's the most efficacious way of doing it.
There we are. Well, yeah, it's fair to say Brentford turned it around in the second half, though. Much better. Challenging every ball. They were depressing. I mean, blimey, they were up for it.
Well done, the Boo Boys.
They silenced the Boo Boys.
Well, no, so the Boo Boys motivate them. That's
yes, that's
saying.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Silence, Boo Boys!
Yeah. Visser with a beauty. Absolute beauty.
Do you hear what he said about it?
Go on.
I am happy to score this type of goal for people who love football.
Oh,
yes. What a good lad.
He said, I'm happy to score this goal so Nicholas Jackson could watch it just before he goes to bed. Beauty. I love it. I mean, it was just the way it kind of sits up. And you think to yourself, oh, he's going to do it. He's bloody done it.
Yeah, he has.
Oh, glorious.
I also really enjoyed the fact that we said on Friday, didn't we, that Chelsea, the most accurate thing you could say about them is they're just a mid-table team. And then they put in the most mid-table performance.
Yeah. But that second half in Brentford was so much better for them. And
they were unlucky not to score more goals, actually.
Yeah. And because they've been poor recently. And that's obviously why some of the fans are booing. I mean, again, I kind of tend to agree with Thomas Frank. You know, they know more than anybody if they're playing badly. But being 1-0 down, fairly sort of tepid first half. But that second half, my goodness, they came
roaring back. But then Chelsea kind of pegged them back again. And then,
but that can happen.
And it was a strange game for that, because as soon as Chelsea went 2-1 down, all their fans started really vociferously booing about what's going on and wanting Pochettino out and they're singing about Todd Bowley as well at one point.
Songs for Jose again. It's
yes,
it's happening.
Which is funny because they a great metaphor for it was that they were singing about Todd Bowley, who basically rather than just take the short hop to Brentford, went to Bahrain for first Grand Prix of the Formula One season.
I've seen a lot of criticism of this from him. It's like he is a billionaire.
Oh, I'm not criticising. I just think it's funny. Stuff, yeah. Do what you want. Yeah.
Yeah, let him do what he wants.
That's very much the type of lifestyle you can expect from a billionaire, though, right?
And therefore, we shouldn't criticise it.
I'm just saying it's about expectation, isn't it?
Jim, as a billionaire yourself, how do you feel about it?
I'm not really into F1.
No, same. But Tom Bowley's probably thinking, I could go to Chelsea games anytime. This is the first game.
It's just one of my toys.
Yeah, well, exactly. If he was as nimble as Ivan Toney, he could have done both.
No, well, exactly, because Ivan Toney popped up at the Brits.
Well, people seem to be quite surprised about this, that he managed to go from one side of London and get to another part of London within a 5-hour window. I know it can be a bit tricky.
Wow, getting like a shopper.
Yeah, Addison Lee are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Ivan, why aren't you just sitting around at the GTEC Community Stadium until the next game? What do they think this is? Like some kind of like Simpsons cartoon.
Yeah. Get back in your cryogenic.
I thought you just lay down in the penalty area and then animated when the referee blew the whistle for the next game.
Exactly. Nah, I'm sending emails to Real.
The only one who among us who of course has been to the Brit Awards is Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
I have,
several times, presumably.
Yeah. The red carpet
how
many a time.
People did you annoy on the red
countless,
carpet?
Countless people.
Any goodness me's?
Simon Le Bon, lots of goodness me's. Simon Le Bon drunkenly took the piss out of my accent. Who's the singer who sang Karma Chameleon? By George.
He didn't change you to a radio, did he?
I can see that happening. Yeah.
Probably would have got a better fee. Yeah. I repeatedly asked him whether he was going for the chicken or the fish.
And what did he say?
I'm a vegetarian.
Did he?
Just it's the level of interviewing you get from Pete Donaldson.
Did you follow it up with a goodness me?
Yeah, goodness me. Yeah. Don't take me to a radio, I'm like,
yeah. There we go.
There we are, you see. Yeah. Excellent.
Marcus, didn't Harry Kane do a stint at the Brits? Didn't he give away something?
He shouldn't be doing speeches.
No. Correct. But I mean, I'm fairly certain before he went to Germany, I think he did a farewell.
I thought you meant now, like he's just desperate for a trophy.
Yes,
because it's gone wrong at Bayern Munich in terms of the league title. So
he's just
going up to Ray, who won like six. Going, oh, you can spare one of them, couldn't you?
Let me do a bar.
Yeah, I'll take best female art solo artist.
Yeah, he did present an award.
Well done, Charlie Kane.
Yeah, great gig.
He didn't win the award.
Harry, I got you a great move. Oh, where is it? Man United. Ah, it's fucking XL.
It's the O2.
Yeah, it's the O2 Arena. Saturday night. You're presenting best fucking special effects.
You're talking to Pete on the Brits carpet.
You get more people in the
O2. He's going to give you a box of After Eight mints.
Is that what you did?
That's what he should do, yeah. That's, yeah.
What?
So we used to have like a carrier bag full of sweets and we'd give them out. Like you'd choose I think the Bros brothers both had a After Eight mint. That's the one they went
what,
for.
What, so you did that to tempt them over to talk to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was the tactic.
Yeah,
like an animal.
Yeah. Like a little animal.
So let me just get this right. So you're on the red carpet.
Yeah.
With some of the biggest names in music.
Oh, I hit one of Haim in the vagina with a clipboard.
There you go.
Forgot about that, yeah.
Why did you do that?
It was an accident.
Okay, forget my question. Yeah.
For me, she's done
you just hit me
wrong,
in the vagina. I was like, oh, sorry.
Soon as
it was a particularly heavy clipboard as well.
Yeah, okay.
And a heavy moment for us all. Yeah.
I just wondered why you... My interest was the thought process in... I need to attract some of the biggest names in music over to me to talk to me. After Eight Mints should do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, I've hit one of Haim in the vagina.
Yeah.
What an afternoon.
Yeah. Naughty.
Peter.
Sorry. Donaldson.
It wasn't my fault, it was an accident.
It was an accident. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It wasn't there. Okay. Was it?
Yeah, but you still got to take. If it's an accident, you've still got to take responsibility.
You're very good about it, but I had interviewed them a few times.
Okay, there we are. Right, let's move on to Luton Town 2, Aston Villa 3. Aston Villa needed an 89th minute winner.
It's a brilliant game.
What a game it was. Game of two halves, Luke Moore.
Absolutely. And then Aston Villa wrestled that first half bit back and stuck it at the end with some staples.
Yeah, Villa was like, I was watching them and I was like, this doesn't look in any way correct. I don't know what's happening here. I'm going to call the British Transport Police.
It was one of those very interesting things that happens in football now, despite all kind of the Beard's attempts to try and control it tactically and the rest of it, where momentum is just a thing. And Luton came out of the blocks in the second half and they were just smashing on the door over and over again. And Villa couldn't deal with it. I mean, Luton probably could have scored one, maybe two more. There was an identical chance that went just wide to the goal that I think Morris scored after with about 20 minutes left. And they could have gone 3-2 up. And then from nowhere, Villa somehow managed to pull the win out the back. And speaking of big wins, I mean, you said Liverpool's game was a big win. In the context of what Aston Villa are trying to achieve this season, that was absolutely huge because Luton are showing a lot. Yeah. You compare them to Sheffield United and Burnley, for example.
Even Forest, you could say.
Yeah, I mean, Burnley, for example, in their game against Bournemouth, first 20 minutes, they were great. They just couldn't score. And they got sucker punched, and that was the end of it, really.
Why did you say this? I mean, Luton have lost four on the belt.
They have, but in every one of those, they've shown a bit. Mm. Yeah. It's almost like it's enough to hang your hat on.
Give them a point.
Yeah, definitely.
Give them a bonus point.
The Premier League got some spare ones they took from Everton. Give them to Luton. What happens to those points? They just disappear. We're supposed to believe that, are we? We're supposed to believe that you go after an established Premier League team, you take points off them, and those points all just disappear into the ether.
You've been reading Matt Letizia's book
again.
I have.
Yeah. Give them to Matt Letizia. He can distribute them with some CBD gummies.
Yes, he can. On the golf course.
Yeah.
Ollie Watkins scored a couple for Aston Villa. Of course, that second goal.
The touch.
What a finish.
Beauty, wasn't it?
It was a pinpoint finish.
We had this discussion the other day about the as you know, I like to bring in England. Who's going to be behind Kane in the striking pecking order? Watkins is... He's done nothing
he's
wrong.
Everywhere. He's the obvious choice, isn't he?
I mean, 16 Premier League goals, two behind Haaland in the race for the Golden Boot. Obviously, Haaland was injured for a long time, we should say. It would be very harsh if he doesn't get the call up, but I still think Tony has that little bit more in his locker.
I think, am I right in thinking that you think he's more similar to Kane? So is a
replacement.
Tony is more similar to Kane, but it's not just the goals that Watkins has scored. He's got 10 Premier League assists.
Yeah,
which is double the amount Haaland's got.
Yeah, I mean, Watkins does a lot. He does a lot. And Watkins had a message for Gareth Southgate saying, I missed out on the last Euro squad because it was my first season in the Premier League. I am scoring. I am established. So it is down to the manager if he wants to pick me.
He has to pick him. I think if we're having this conversation here
over
now,
Tony.
On the 4th of March 2024, here and now, if Gareth Southgate is picking the squad today and he picks Ivan Tony over Ollie Watkins, that is a joke.
Right.
It's a joke. There's no way.
Joke is too strong a word.
It's not. There's no justification for it. Ivan Tony's come off the back of months and months out of football. Mm-hmm. He's got nowhere near the goal scoring and assist record that Watkins has got over a long period of time.
And also, the way that Tony...
But why has he been out? Because he made a stupid decision.
Fine, but when you say it's a joke, on what basis?
On merit.
On the basis of talent as well.
On merit.
But also on merit, Watkins, yes.
But Tony, the way that Brentford played, they need a little bit more defensively from Tony. And he's not giving it at the moment. He's come off, he's come back, and he may be performing up top, but he's just not working as hard as he possibly could be. But you know, Unai Emery, he knows how to turn.
He does.
I'm not middling strikers, but decent strikers into absolute world beaters. Mm. Incredible.
I think Watkins has added a lot to his game this season as well. He's had his best season by far in the Premier League, as we've sort of touched on with not just his goals, but his assists, but it's the type of goals he's scoring. He seems to have really diversified that, and that's going to really stand him in good stead.
Look, it's just my opinion. I'm not trying to tell you guys you're wrong. You can't not pick him. Are you watching him play?
I think we're all agreeing with you, though.
Yeah.
Spurs not
none
on board.
Of us aren't picking
I'm caught in two minds, but I would whatever.
Why can't we have all three?
That's
wow.
True.
Yeah. I mean, it's a reduced squad again, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
So it makes it difficult
like
to switch
three forward
one
players.
Of them as a goalkeeper, like North Korea did.
Oh, yeah. Like, nothing can go wrong with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if he carries, it's a big if, but you know, the form he's in, carries on the way he's going, how many Premier League goals and assists are he going to get this season? He might put together 25 goals and 15 assists in the Premier League and get Villa into the top four of the league, into the Champions League, and not get picked for the England squad.
But have we seen more players like Watkins over what we get from Tony in the England squad? We've had a lot of players like Watkins.
That is a point I agree with.
But Tony's very unique.
Tell me, so the problem England have had is they've not really worried that much about it, because when he's fit, Kane's always going to play. Mm. And so they rotate around these different strikers they pick here and there, you know, whether it's a Calvert-Lewin or a Tony or a Watkins or whatever.
Yeah.
There's some others as well, which I won't have to bore you with. But the fact is, none of those options have been anywhere near as good as Ollie Watkins is right now.
Yeah.
He can do all of it. Tony is kind of stylistically a more similar player to Kane traditionally. The reality is, Tony's had almost a year out and he's come back. He's about 7 or 8 games since and he's looked pretty decent, but he's not looked anywhere near as good as Watkins. And the stuff that Tony does, Watkins can also do, and Watkins brings you a whole load of other stuff as well. Mm. It's unthinkable that Watkins won't be in the squad for the Euros if he's fit, in my view.
All right. Big chat. Big
chat. You got to recognise the game when you see it.
Mm. Well, and I'll throw another name for you then.
Yeah.
Did you see John Joe Shelby's free kick on the weekend?
Forget what I just said. Make the extra place for John. Where's he playing now? Rizespor.
He's playing in Turkey.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a beauty.
It's a dead ball, mate.
Apparently the
same
big clubs,
everywhere.
Apparently the big clubs are interested in John.
Yeah.
Galatasaray, Fenerbahce.
Well, hang on. Yeah, the Turkish big clubs. You said big clubs. I thought you meant like Real Madrid or something.
No, come on.
The big Turkish clubs.
The big Turkish clubs.
I imagine John's wallet is also
very
open.
Big. All I'm saying is that if he was to get a big move to Galatasaray...
Whenever you talk about this man, you always say, all I'm saying is.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is. Always all I'm saying
all you
is.
Need to do is, if you pick him for the England squad and he starts,
he starts for
England, you've got to just make sure Alex Ferguson's in a seat just behind the bench to really rile him up.
Yeah.
And you see how many goals he scores from the halfway line then.
He's picking them in from everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good stepping stone, Galatasaray. Yeah.
Marcus,
back to the Premier League.
So you talked about this.
Marcus, how dare you?
You dropped this in the Football Ramble WhatsApp group across the weekend.
I did.
Was it, from memory, was it poorly received by Turkish football expert Andy Brassel, or was it well received?
I think he gave it a thumbs up, did he not?
Yeah, I think he said that he was very impressed with it.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
There you are.
And Andy's not here to defend himself, so let's really lean into that.
Let's lean in all the way. But Aston Villa, though, in terms of top four, that, you know, they're on for it. They really, really are. I mean, it was particularly gutting for them that Liverpool didn't drop 2 points, because they'd only be six off the top, of course, if that was the case. But that's not the case.
No.
So the title does seem to be out of their reach at the moment, but you never know what could happen. But a top four finish for them would be phenomenal.
They play Spurs next, and that's obviously massive.
So yes.
If either side get a win there, it's huge.
And I think the fact that it's at Villa Park is big as well. Spurs have obviously turned it around against Palace, and they've found a way to get results, but they've not been that fluid. And I think Villa look like now they might have got over their wobble. The only kind of fly in the ointment for them is, I guess, they've got a pretty tricky game away from home in Europe before they play Spurs. So they've got to manage that a bit as well.
They do. All right, everybody, before we finish, let's go to North America. Portland Timbers are still top of the Western Conference on goal difference after a 2-2 draw with DC United. Pete Donaldson, are you coming round to the fact that Fizzer is on a winner?
So that's a win and a draw.
Yeah.
I just need it.
How many games in are they?
2 points for a win, is it?
they're two games in, and they're top on goal difference. It's a good start.
Yeah, top on goal difference.
Yeah. No one can deny that. The league doesn't like
what
it.
What a thrilling situation.
I love this work. I love this work.
Go on, have another dig.
I like.
Yeah. You can't win the Western Conference in the first couple of games, but you can certainly lose it.
You can certainly be
true.
Top.
You can be top.
You can true certainly that. Be top, yeah. So I think Portland Timbers are on for it. Go on, the boys.
Yeah.
The big news, of course, coming from the Major League Soccer was Real Salt Lake beat LAFC 3-0 in rather snowy conditions.
Yeah. It's the sort of snowy conditions you don't see all that often anymore.
No.
If you saw that game in black and white, you would think it was beach football. The snow was that thick. And also, so they delayed kickoff for 2 hours.
2 hours,
like,
yeah.
And then after like 4 or 5 minutes, they had to stop it again because of lightning.
Yeah, delayed it by another hour. But we've got to play it, though.
We have to play
it. They've
trying to get away.
They've travelled a long way to get here.
It wasn't even like they had done anything at all to the pitch.
No.
Like, normally when there's been a bit of snow, what tends to happen is they'll scrape out the line so you can see it. Mm. The snow will be very, very limited. Like, it was ridiculous, the conditions they were planning. And also, what was also crazy was the idea that everyone was going mental on Twitter talking about how, you know, these players from LA, they won't know how to play in the snow. Like, one, they're not all from LA. Two, this time last year, there was a massive, famously massive snowstorm in LA. Mm. And three, I'm sure people can adapt to some kind of snowy conditions. Yeah. They've seen snow before.
The LAFC manager, Steve Cherundolo, said it was an absolute joke that they had to play.
Well, I agree with that.
Which is true. But then Real Salt Lake manager, Pablo Mastroeni, said, it's about mentality. I think the team that quickly adapts to the circumstances around them and controls the controllables has a better chance.
You might as well just say that the manager whose team lost didn't like it, and the manager's team won really liked it.
Went until the volcano match.
Exactly. Yeah. Hugo Lloris was in goal.
He was, yeah. He was getting covered in snow.
Yeah, that was the name of the game.
Did you see that there was a match involving Inter Miami, and the referee had to be replaced at the last minute because he was seen in an Inter Miami top?
Not during the game.
No, not during the game.
That's too far.
That would be confusing.
Just a collar popping out on the road.
But wasn't that
threading balls through?
Wasn't he basically just doing what everyone else does in the southeast of the United States, just wearing a Lionel Messi shirt?
Wearing it, yeah, pretty much. I'm almost certain that isn't
it? It is poor.
Haven't all the referees been replaced because the unions couldn't get an agreement in time, so they're just using like lower league refs.
Oh,
I think that's the case.
They don't know the rules.
Yeah,
they're just like,
I don't know the story.
What if he was wearing a Cristiano Ronaldo top?
In the second half,
a few reds, I imagine.
Ref, can I wear what I want? Yeah, not that though. You can't wear.
Not that.
Go skins if you have to.
Yeah, I love the fact that the fans in MLS, they won't sing Ronaldo's name at Messi. Because the point?
Messi don't care.
Yeah.
But on the other coin, on the other side of the coin,
stuff,
it very much works. Speaking of snowy places, did you see that Aberdeen lost to St Mirren in Scotland after leading for 94 minutes?
I didn't, but I know why we're talking about it.
Neil Warnock.
It must be a record, right? Because they scored in the first minute and they conceded in the 95th and 97th minute to lose.
That's right.
And I saw that online some people were so annoyed with Junior Hoylett and how slow he was, they were calling him Senior Hoylett.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that very
much. 33, have a bit of respect. Great pro.
Toyosi Olasanya scored the winner for St Mirren. And Warnock recommended that St Mirren sign him after managing him at Middlesbrough. So that's come back
he's
to
hurt us
him.
There.
Yeah, I don't think they've won a game yet, have they, under Warnock?
They haven't.
No. He wants to win the cup, doesn't he? Are they out of that?
Yeah, but you can't win the cup without winning the game, can you?
Yeah, but that's why in the league. Is he not bothered about the league?
No, he has won a game in the cup.
Neil, you haven't won a game yet.
In the cup, they have.
Oh, okay, right, fine.
But yeah, in the league, they have.
It's all right, I'm going for the cup. You've got to win games in the cup as well.
It's a hobby for him.
You can win them everywhere. Win them all the competitions.
Yeah, they beat Bronny Rig Rose 2-0 at home, apparently.
There you go, you see?
Yeah, it's all coming together.
They've got Kilmarnock next, though.
I'll tell you what, a huge weekend in Scottish football. Rangers and Celtic both losing.
I know.
Yeah.
Hearts cutting the gap to 15 points.
Big Laurie Shankton.
He can't get enough.
Having a pie party.
Come on. Yeah. Have some of that. Joe Hart was annoyed. You see him confronting some of the Hart supporters.
Yeah, it's part of his farewell tour, isn't it? You know when Stephen Gerrard announced his retirement and just got standing ovations everywhere? Joe Hart's going to have a fight in every stadium in Scotland before he finishes. Just part of it.
Silly Joe.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's got gloves on, to be fair.
He does.
Yeah, not boxing gloves, though.
No, absolutely. That would be very strange. Yeah. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do follow us on Twitter or X, if you like, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify.
Will you ever call it X?
I just did.
No, but are you ever going to just call it X?
Well, that's what it's called.
No, but will you ever adopt it?
I think I have already.
Are you going to get a blue check mark?
I don't have the money for it.
So you can do big, long tweets about Phil Neville.
And edit them, apparently.
Yeah, you can edit them as well.
Yeah,
you can edit them every time he wins a game.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's
be nice.
It's wonderful.
I think the possibilities for you on X are endless, Marcus.
I would say so. Much more than they were on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank goodness.
It's a different beast now, isn't it?
Very different beast. Very different beast. But you can find it at twitter.com. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Join us for Ramble Reacts, of course. And thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over
you. Sorry.
Are you really sorry, though?
Very sorry.
Yeah, he's sorry, Pete.
So sorry. I'm so sorry. all right, then. Right, let's go.
Luke's a cunt.
Oh!
Yes!
He's right, you know.
Back on top.
On top.
Oh, treating himself to a little swig of his coffee for that one. After he headbutted the mic and hurt his neck.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.